This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out.
Every home run.
Gone.
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
CBS Sports Radio.
Listening to the Vince Quinn Show, weekend overnights on CBS Sports Radio.
Yes, on sale for $5 billion as an NFT. It is the Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio. We're starting in full morning show mode today because we just skipped an hour. So it's 3 in the morning on the East Coast. We have skipped 2 o'clock. Typically, I'd like to come on and be like, yeah, the 2 o'clock hour, we had Tom Brady on the show. LeBron James was on the show. We did skip an hour. Adjust your clocks accordingly. So, a lot of things going on. The Rock making waves and merging with the CFL. We'll be talking about that in a little bit. You have some great stories. If you didn't see Caris LeVert coming back from cancer in just a couple of months, he played tonight. Really incredible story. Cam Newton got signed by the Patriots. So there's just a lot of different things that we'll be getting into over the course of the night. But the thing that we got to start with is the story that we seem to keep going back to in one way or another. It's Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and also Dak Prescott and how these guys have showcased the extremes of the quarterback position. Because think about this, right? Tom Brady, obviously, the biggest selling point for Tom Brady, it's not the most popular one. It's not the thing we talk about the most, because when you talk about Tom Brady, it's, well, the leadership and how committed he is and how smart he is on the field, the consistent accuracy, all of those different things are when you're talking about the career of Tom Brady, that's what you go to. That's what you define him with. And that makes all the sense in the world to define a player by, you know, what they actually do as a player on the field is a completely reasonable thing. But the thing that really defines the life cycle, the career of Tom Brady in the NFL, it's his contract. His contract is the single most important thing when you're talking about the legacy of Tom Brady. Because for all of this, we know it's a team sport. Aaron Rodgers only has one Super Bowl. He's got one. One. I don't even think he's been to a second, right? Like, What's he done? I mean, he's one of the greatest quarterbacks we've ever seen in our lives. He's been to one Super Bowl. He's won one Super Bowl. It's a whole team. You need a team to win. Tom Brady, over the course of his career, through being connected to Bill Belichick and the Patriots and what they were able to build over there, and now doing it with Tampa Bay, what are you seeing? I mean, look around. Chris Godwin just got tagged. He's coming back. Okay, that's a top-of-the-line wide receiver. They don't need him. Mike Evans, Antonio Brown, Scotty Miller on some level. That's a good receiving corps. You don't need Gronk. They don't need anybody. They don't need him. They tagged him because they can afford to do it. Lavonte David is coming back with the Buccaneers. They can afford to do it. It's the contract. They extended Brady for another year. Technically, they extended him for like another four. Because with the way the NFL works, you get all these, let's say this contract goes till 2080. We can just void the last 60 years. And I don't understand how that's a thing. Legalese is never something I've really been interested in or appreciated. But that's the fact of life in the NFL. That's what Tom Brady has worked into his new contract. And he is a guy that has again and again and again and literally through the entire course of his career, the entirety of it, he's taken under market deals. You might think six-round pick, and I was curious, six-round pick, not making a lot of money, a couple hundred thousand over a few years, especially in 1999, 2000. Like, you weren't making a ton of cash. Maybe his first deal, his first big deal, right? Because look at Dak Prescott, it's his first big deal. We'll talk about what that means in a minute, but Tom Brady, his first big contract, having been a guy that won a Super Bowl with the Patriots, beginning of his career, 4 years, $30 million. A little over $7 million a year, $7.5 million a year. That was his second deal. So as a quarterback, totally under market value. His second contract, this is, at that point, it's Tom Brady. You know, he's beating Peyton Manning all the time, doing it in the playoffs. Just he proven himself. At that point, you had a pretty good idea that Tom Brady was the best quarterback in the NFL. People wanted it to be Peyton. It was Brady. Now, at that point, Tom Brady, third contract in the NFL. Third. 4 years, $42 million. 11 a year. It's a joke. But that's what's made him so great, in part, is having the team around him, having the players around him. If he has a bad game, those guys can pick up the slack in one way or another. It's team building at its finest. He's gotten that. He's preached that his whole career, and he's got more rings than anybody. It's not a coincidence. It's not a coincidence at all. It's obvious. Graceffo's been saying the same thing for weeks. As much as we've been talking about Brady and the Bucs and the playoff run, it was, look at the contract. Well, yeah, they did it again. Look at the contract. They're bringing everybody back. Look at the contract. They can do it. He's making like $25 million a year. And now you go to Dak Prescott. And he's making over $40 million a year with his new deal. Is he worth it? Because here's the thing. This is what's so interesting about it. For Brady, you know exactly why he's done it again and again and again. I just talked about it for a couple of minutes. Dak Prescott, at his press conference, was explaining in part why he made the deal that he did with Dallas. And listen to this.
Any player that's up to negotiation, they have an obligation to support and represent the rest of the NFL and where this game is going. And I think Mr. Jones just said it. This contract shows where this game is going financially, right? Not just in the quarterback position, but in all the positions. So obviously, years later, when I'm back at it, it'll be in different circumstances. But I think I had a responsibility and obligation to the other quarterbacks and to the other men and even the guys on my team to get this done.
He has a responsibility to the other quarterbacks in the league. Now, he also says he has a responsibility to his team there. He clearly doesn't, right? I mean, it's one or the other. You're either getting the most money because you want to do that for the other quarterbacks in the sport, and that's what you think you should do, is that's been the standard for years. Hey, next guy up, whether you're the greatest guy, you're the 15th best guy, whatever it is, if you're a guy that a team doesn't want to give up on, they give you a top-of-the-market deal, and that's what he did. The other side is taking less money and helping out your team. Now, Dak Prescott made a business decision, and he's making as much money as he possibly can. The circumstances around that are fascinating, right? What it means for Dallas is a big deal. And we'll be talking about that in a lot of different ways. But I guess, for me, the biggest thing that is on my mind that is bugging me about all of this that I'd love to talk with you about, is there any quarterback that's actually worth all the money? Is there anybody, in terms of building the team, is there anybody that's worth it? And you might say right now, because let's just get it out of the way, everybody on the planet is going, Vince, Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes, for the love of God. He's the greatest quarterback we've ever seen in our lives. He might be the greatest quarterback that's ever played the sport, period. Ever. He's what, 25? It's not crazy to say it. And when you look at a guy like that, sure, you can want to believe that, but also, that deal hasn't kicked in yet. So when you get in 10 years and $500 million, what does it look like 2 years from now? People are already freaking out about what it means for the Chiefs because they're cutting their tackles. Now, the actual significance of what that all means for the Chiefs, we'll get to that a little bit later. But looking at it right now, I mean, honestly, is there any quarterback that's making like 40, 45, $35 million a year with Russell Wilson, for example, is it actually worth it? Because we always go, hey, it's the quarterback. It's the most important position. Yeah, but doesn't it get to a certain point where you're paying a quarterback so much money that as much as the position is valuable, as much as it's more valuable than the other positions on the field, does it get to a point where you're paying these guys so much relative to everybody else that you can't actually build a winning team anymore? At what point does it actually hurt you? And that's the thing. Yes, you can be competitive. Yes, it can feel like your window is open for forever. But again, Aaron Rodgers has only been to one Super Bowl. He's been to one. He's been playing out his whole career. Drew Brees went to one. So is it worth it? I mean, as you see Brady win again and again and again, you look at Dallas, now that Dak Prescott has this deal, are they going to get any better? They got a decent offense right now. I mean, they got a lot of wide receivers. And so, fine, maybe this year they're still really competitive. But like 2 years from now, how competitive is Dallas? Are they a favorite? Because I look at this deal and immediately go, okay, well, it's a good deal for Dak. I'm happy for him as a guy, having the injury the way he did and getting paid and whatever. It's a remarkable thing. But also, is Dallas going to win anything with this deal? Because my gut is no, they're not. They're not going to win anything. But you're locked into the quarterback, right? There's such a fear of, oh my God, what are we going to do if we let this guy walk? And that's why all of these quarterbacks that come up get paid. Is it worth it? Is it actually worth it? Does it actually make sense? It might get you excited, right? Having the quarterback is the easiest thing to identify with. That's what your casual fan is there for. But from a team-building standpoint, does it actually make sense? Does it make sense to pay any quarterback $40 million relative to the cap? Pandemic year or not? 855-212-4227. That's how you join the show. 855-212-4227. I'm Vince Quinn. You can always hit me up on Twitter, by the way, at It's Vince Quinn. So that's all one word, It's Vince Quinn. And, I mean, Graceffa, I'll just ask you. I mean, seriously, like, you've just seen me ranting and raving for 10 minutes. I don't think it's worth it.
For the Cowboys, it is and it isn't. I'll tell you why it is and it isn't. Like you said, the fear of the unknown. How many teams have basically decided to cast off a young quarterback and turn out better on the other side? Cast off a young quarterback that, you know, has shown some promise. I mean, Washington did it with Kirk Cousins, and they got lucky enough to fall into the lap to pay Alex Smith $70 million.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's what you want to do, then you can go ahead and do it. For what you said, for the other side of the coin, this defense was like a nosebleed last year. Like, it would not stop. Like, I don't know how they're going to make this defense any better.
No idea.
I have no earthly idea. Like, if you're telling me it's going to be all Dan Quinn's scheme that's going to make this defense better, have at it. Go nuts. One of the reasons Mike Nolan got fired after 1 year is just because they were so inept. So, obviously, when you're paying $40 million thereabouts of a $180 million cap, think about the fact that you have to spread $120 million around to 52 other people.
It's crazy.
How do you figure it out? How do you do it?
And that's the thing. I don't know if anybody's really figured it out. You don't have the model for it is, okay, you pay the quarterback, and then at that point, you're hoping that he's so transcendently good that he's going to make up for the gaps as the team you know is going to get worse. You know it. It's a fact of life. Whenever the quarterback gets that big deal, you go, well, he's getting the big contract. Oh, and he totally deserves it. He's, you know, a top 10 quarterback in the NFL, and this is just how things go. But then you know people are going to leave. The marquee players will go, whether it's your star wide receiver or your offensive line or your defensive line or the secondary, right? Those premium spots, you're going to eat that money somewhere. It's going to take up that oxygen of other positions. And so you basically stay the same with a different look, right? Your quarterback has the status and the recognition and the money that goes with it. But as Graceffo very smartly and elegantly put, you got 52 other guys to pay. It's a whole roster. It's a team sport. When a guy like that goes down and you pay them all this money, where's the team? Where are the Packers when Aaron Rodgers gets hurt? What are they? Because they're not good. They're not good. So that's the thing that I sit here and I look at this and I just go, it's crazy. Everything about this feels normal that Dak Prescott is getting a massive deal. And it's not exactly a comment on Dak Prescott himself. I don't think anybody's worth it. I talked to myself into Patrick Mahomes when they signed the deal because that's just how things go. He is the greatest quarterback we've ever seen. He's super young. He's already won a Super Bowl and an MVP. And you believe he's going to do that a bunch. So they pay him $500 million over 10 years. But 10 years from now, how many titles does he win? What does he have left? Who's with him? How much more pressure on is going to be on him? And here's the other thing. How much better can he get? Because if he's going to have less around him, he's going to have to be even better than he already is. He's a transcendent talent. He's a living god at 25 in the NFL. That's amazing. But are the Chiefs any better? Because they're going to be paying him $50 million a year. Are they any better? Is it worth it? It's entertaining. It's exciting to have that star quarterback, but at what point do you draw the line? When does it get too much? I don't expect every guy to be Tom Brady. I don't expect them to take half of market value or, you know, two-thirds of market value. I don't expect guys to take massive cuts like that all the time, but doesn't there have to be some kind of middle ground? Doesn't there have to be some kind of point where you go, listen, hey, we get it. Dak Prescott, you're a pretty good quarterback. We were bad without you last year. But also, if we pay you $40 million a year, we're not going to be any good. You're not going to win. I mean, seriously. So it just gets to a point where you have to look at this whole thing and just go, you know, this ain't right. Like, it's just not winning football. It's business. And like Dak says in his presser, he goes, hey, this signifies the business of the league, how the league is growing, all that different stuff. And he's right about that. But the football side of it is bad. It's bad business at this point. It just feels like every time we see these deals, Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, like different guys, we just saw it. They're good. When they're playing well, they're good. You know, but are they worth that kind of money? Like, clearly they weren't. Both their teams gave up on them. They didn't even love Dak Prescott, right? Like, I don't know. It's crazy.
I don't think comparing Dak to those two guys is fair.
He's better than them.
He's better than those two guys. And I think the Cowboys can clearly see over the horizon in 2-3 years from now when the cap is going to be well over $200 million. So it's not all bleak for the Cowboys. But for the next, you know, for the next year or two, where the cap is barely going to move, you would think, they're going to have some issues paying some people.
Yeah.
Like when CeeDee Lamb comes up 2 years from now, 3 years from now for a contract extension, I mean, I don't know.
What do you do?
What do you do?
You paid the quarterback, so the whole thing's going to be, well, yeah, you can't afford CeeDee Lamb, but you paid the quarterback. He's got to step up. But, like, how much better is Dak Prescott going to get?
Well, that's when your magicians in capology are able to move some things around and make sure you get to keep everybody like the Bucks are doing. But again, the Bucks have the special, most special example.
Yes. And that's the thing. Nobody else does it. Nobody. So it's crazy. It's fascinating. And I'd love to talk to you about it. So 855-212-4227 is how you get in. I'm Vince Quinn with you on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to The Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio.
It's such a
You're listening to The Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio.
And the clocks went forward an hour. Don't forget it. Somebody was just asking me, like, so are you losing an hour of pay? I was like, shift pay, baby. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shift pay. Let's go. Now, Graceffo, yeah, how's that work for you?
Come on. Yeah, let's not get into it on the air.
Okay, I'll say this. If you're somebody that
you want to talk about it off the air, I'll talk to you about it.
Yeah, there we go. So I would, in some cases, I'd always plug in the hour. I would always plug it in. But when you get on a night like this, it's not just the hour stuff that gets wonky. The thing that I always think about is how can someone still get screwed up by daylight savings? Because traditionally, I get it. Hey, I mean, you got to manually set an alarm clock every single day. If you don't change that hour over, you're going to mess it up. You'd have to change it. Hey, you know, make sure you change your clocks. And then that day in the afternoon, you go, oh, yeah, I'm going to change my clock and whatever. And some people just totally space on that. I did it all the time when I was growing up, and I was a mess. But now, I mean, your clock is your phone. Your alarm clock is your phone. So I don't know how, and a lot of cars, I feel like it's satellite, the way that they get the time. So you don't even necessarily have to do it. It just changes for you everywhere except for your stove, you know? So when you look at it, I go, okay, how does it get lost in the shuffle still? For example, if you set your alarm, because you work late night, early morning, all those hours, if you set your alarm, say, for 2:25 in the morning, does that get skipped? Does it instinctively switch it to 3:35 in the morning on a night like this? That's the kind of thing that I wonder about, is how does it handle, what gets lost in the cracks when you change things over for daylight savings? So just a dumb little thought in my head. There's far more important things we can talk about.
I feel sorry for the guy waking up at 2:25.
Right? I mean, it's tough. I don't mind necessarily being up through the overnight, but I like getting up now at 6 in the morning, for example. I've been doing that a lot. Getting up at 2 is an interesting...
That sounds insane.
Yeah, I've been doing it a lot, actually. Because for me, I would spend so much time late night because of this show and the general shifts that I work. It's all late night stuff. So I'd be getting off the clock at either 2 in the morning or 6 in the morning. And I said, you know, I'll just generally be on a late night track. I'll be up every day, 3, 4, something like that, and just be in a rhythm all throughout the week. And then I got up at 6 in the morning one day, and I'm having a cup of coffee. It's like 6:45. I got up. I stretched. I looked through some of the news, and I was like, wow, I'm not waking up at 3 p.m. to 80 texts. All the big news has happened. You know, it's just like I'm ahead of things, and I liked that. It was really nice.
Some people prefer the other way.
And for a while, I did, but I'd have so many times where also I'd be up at like 3 in the morning on a Tuesday, and I just didn't have anything to do. Nobody was up. I couldn't be like, yo, you want to hang out and whatever, because everybody was asleep.
This is when you do things alone.
Well, and that's all I did. I would just be playing video games with strangers in the middle of the night.
Or in modern times, you could go somewhere.
Well, yeah. There's not too many places you could go.
I could think of many.
At 3 in the morning?
Yes.
You're in New York City. You live in New York City, so you can go to bars till 4.
Correct.
But that's an exception to the rule. Well, there's other places like that. I don't go to those places. I'll go when it's a bachelor party, and that's about it. So, for me, I was just sitting at home. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing myself. I get up early. Anyway, we're totally on a diatribe now. So, we started with the idea that Dak Prescott got a monster contract, which was a little surprising. I will say, a little surprising. When he gets injured the way that he does in that season last year, you go, okay, well, his foot, I mean, it it did like, what was that movie? Oh my God, the black and white movie where the girl's head spins around. It's The Exorcist. There we go. Thank you. The Exorcist. It was like his foot was like that. I mean, you saw it and you go, oh my God. I mean, it was a not safe for work replay, you know? So when you're seeing an injury like that and he gets the contract that he does, you go, wow. I mean, this is the worst case scenario for a guy that's on the franchise tag. And what do you know? Didn't matter. Didn't matter even a little bit. He's still got all the money and then some. So he's getting paid. But I want you to listen to this, right? First, listen again to Dak Prescott talking about why it was important for him to get paid.
Any player that's up to negotiation, they have an obligation to support and represent the rest of the NFL and where this game is going. And I think Mr. Jones just said it. This contract shows where this game is going financially, right? Not just in the quarterback position, but in all the positions. So obviously, years later, when I'm back at it, it'll be in different circumstances. But I think I had a responsibility and obligation to the other quarterbacks and to the other men and even the guys on my team to get this done.
So there you go. He's doing it for the other quarterbacks in the league. He wants to continue the status and the trend for other quarterbacks. He's doing it for the position. He also says he's doing it for his team. Both of those things can exist at the same time. It just can't. And so you're going, okay, well, that's a little weird. But then here's the other thing. Is Dak in that cut? He mentions Jerry Jones and what he said. Well, let's hear a little bit of what Jerry Jones had to say.
I will tell you this. If there's a human breathing that I've ever met that I'm proud that took advantage of me financially, I'm proud it's the one sitting to the right.
So there you go. I mean, he's saying it himself. Took advantage of me financially. He's a quarterback that's up for a deal. They wanted to prolong this as much as they could. And Dallas was all about that, weren't they? That was the whole point of this. Dak should have gotten the contract a year ago. We all expected it a year ago. We were shocked that he didn't get it a year ago. So they tag him. And I go, let's draw this out. We don't know if we love him. We like him. We like him. We don't love him. Let's drag it out. Let's put it on the tag. See where it goes. He plays a couple of games. He gets injured. And then they just decide, all right, you know what? Let's just give him all the money. We don't have any other options. We don't have anything else we think could realistically happen. Russell Wilson and the idea of him floating out to Dallas, apparently they didn't think it was all that realistic. And so they go and sign Dak Prescott. They give him this kind of money. And Jerry Jones is admitting it's a mistake. He's admitting he's overpaying the guy. It's crazy. It's crazy. At what point do you look at this and go, these guys shouldn't be making that kind of money? Because it hurts your chance to win. At some point, paying the quarterback hurts your ability to building a actual top-of-the-line contender. Having the quarterback is nice. The name recognition is good. That's what people have done. Nobody wants to be the first person on the dance floor most of the time. I'm certainly one of those people. But most people don't want to do that. And so when that's the case, you look at a deal like this and go, okay, so they're going to live in mediocrity. The Dallas Cowboys will be in a 95-degree hot tub for the next 5 years. What is that worth? Is that fun? You get in there and go, I mean, it's warm, but it's not hot. It's like, I might as well just go back out. You know, you regret it. You regret ever getting in. It's just, there's no point. So the whole thing to me is crazy. I don't think, and it's not just Dak Prescott, I don't think really any quarterback is worth it. I'm questioning Patrick Mahomes. 10 years, $500 million, greatest quarterback I've ever seen in my life. I'll say that again and again and again and again and again. I've never seen anybody better. And he's already accomplished. He's already won. But if you're paying that guy $50 million a year on average, I don't know what your odds are of building a contender. Where do they go? How much better can he get? Because before you were paying him like a rookie. So when you're paying a guy $8 million a year and now you're timesing that by five plus, is he going to get five times better? He can't. It's just not possible. So at some point, you're paying these people out of habit and you're not actually helping your team. Does this help Dallas? Are they in a better spot? Is any team better? Josh Allen's coming up. Are the Bills going to be any better paying him $43, $44 million a year? No. He deserves it because that's how the norm of this has all been, but it doesn't make any sense. That's the problem. Graceffo, you like it looked. I feel like you got something to say over there.
I really don't think it's as dire for the Cowboys as you're making it out to be, though. I mean, when I look at the other teams in the division, we can just be real about it and call it like we see it and say the Cowboys are the best team in the division.
Yes.
And that'll get you a home playoff game, no matter what your record is. They haven't changed it yet, as far as I know. And wouldn't you take your chances every year getting a home playoff game in the next 2-3 years? Because I really don't see any of these teams getting better in the next 2 or 3 years.
Washington has a chance. That's the one team
I'll
give a shot. Their
quarterback situation is worse than anyone's.
Oh, it's bad right now. All they've got is Heineke. So they look like trash in that regard. They're going to have to figure it out. They're going to have to draft somebody. But if they draft somebody, then you got something. You know, you can pay for people with cap space. Like, you can build a team. If they want to get Kenny Golladay to go with McLaurin and build a good roster that a quarterback can step into, you can win with that.
I get where you're coming from. I really can't see any of the three teams in the division being markedly better than the Cowboys over the next 2 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Giants are capped out. The Giants are, like, the Giants are paying Leonard Williams $20 million. Like, that says it all.
Yeah.
Like, the Eagles have no idea what they're doing at the quarterback position.
I don't want to talk about that.
Neither does the Washington football team. They don't have a clue. Like, if you're asking them who their quarterback is opening day, they really don't know. Like, the Cowboys can at least say, we know who our quarterback is.
Well, they do.
Unlike the Eagles and the Washington football team.
Yeah, but here's the thing is they might be, and you're right that they're probably the best team in the division for the next 2 years, but
wouldn't you take your chances taking a home playoff game every year for the next 2 seasons, probably?
Getting a home playoff game is nice, but ultimately, where are they going to stack up to the best teams in the league? Like, where do they stack up to Tampa right now? Because I take Tampa in a heartbeat.
Here's the best part, Vince. You don't have to be better than one day. You don't have to be better than 7 days. When we get to the postseason, you only got to be better than them one day.
Well, yeah, ideally, but then you got to be better than all those other teams, and that's
one
the
day.
Problem. Yeah, but then it's really like 4 days, you know?
So don't think of it that way.
Well,
think of it as one day a week.
I have to. Yeah. Well, then Coach James Graceffo, Steph, we're gonna be laser focused on our opponent the next
that's
week.
That's right. We got 1-0 every week.
I mean, yeah, but you got to be the, like, Aaron Rodgers does it every year, and now they've been getting to the conference championship the last couple of years. He's been playing MVP-level football, and he's getting all the money, and they're still
enough. Let's not compare it to Aaron Rodgers. The Packers are on another level. The Packers have continuously been able to build offensive lines. They come up with Corey Linsley out of nowhere. They come up with the kid Jenkins as their left guard out of nowhere. I mean, the Packers obviously know how to find talent where it matters in the trenches of the football team. Like, to compare the way the Packers are doing roster building to other teams in the NFC not called the Buccaneers is kind of, I mean, I don't want to go out on a limb and say it's rude, but the way the Packers are building their roster is better than anybody in the NFC not named the Buccaneers.
Well, yeah, and they've paid one of the best quarterbacks in the history of the sport crazy money his whole career. They only got to one Super Bowl. They won it, but that's the
thing. But to be fair, in Seattle, if a backup tight end doesn't bobble an onside kick, Aaron Rodgers is going to another Super Bowl. Right? All these things add up.
Well, yeah, but I feel like Rodgers is one of the few cases you can make. And even then, it just feels like it's too much. I don't know how you pair it back. And that's part of the conversation. That's one of the things that we'll get into in a couple of minutes. We'll get to that on the other side, is figuring out what that line is, because there clearly is one in the NFL. When you look around, generally, every guy that's pretty good, they get the deal. The guy that's always been brought up again and again, and with good reason, Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford's a pretty good quarterback. He's maybe the end of the top 10. He's probably like top 12, something like that. And he got a top-of-the-line deal a couple of years ago, and you go, is Matthew Stafford the best quarterback in football? Is Matt Ryan the best quarterback in football? Like, those guys, Ryan had one MVP season, but generally, he's around, like, 9. He's good. He's pretty good. But when you're paying everybody that top-of-the-line money again and again and again, it just, something needs to change. I think we know that. We keep seeing that. It's just, what makes it change? So, 855-212-4227 is how you get in. 855-212-4227. We'll figure out the truth line with quarterback contracts on the other side. So I'm Vince Quinn. That's James Graceffo producing the show, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
You're listening to The Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio.
Listening to The Vince Quinn Show, weekend overnights on CBS Sports Radio.
I know this is a good topic because, one, I'm jumping over the intro to my own show, and two, me and Graceffo keep arguing about this throughout the commercial break. So we've clearly hit on something, and it's been a fun conversation so far. I've been getting a lot of response on Twitter. We've been talking about quarterbacks and the contracts. Is it worth it? At what point do you look at the kind of money that you pay a quarterback because they're next up and they're pretty good, and go, you know, this is too much. It's just too much. We're not going to pay a guy top-of-the-line money because we're afraid of him leaving. At some point, locking the guy in is a mistake, and you live in mediocrity. And so I look at it from a team-building standpoint, and it just, at some point, doesn't make sense. Dak Prescott for over $40 million a year is a mistake. Now, he's a good quarterback. I'm not trying to belittle the guy, but he's not $42 million a year, whatever it is. He's not that level of good. And as the team gets worse, because that money kicks in over the next couple of years, he's not going to get that much better. The whole expectation, the whole truism that you get is, well, you paid the quarterback, he's got to be better. But realistically, how often do these guys get significantly better once you pay them? Usually they're just really great, and then you pay them the money, and they continue to be great. Aaron Rodgers, who I've talked about a couple of times already, he's just great. He's just Hall of Fame, one of the greatest quarterbacks ever, and so he's been able to make it work. And that's what me and Graceffo were talking about during the break. Russell Wilson is one of those guys that can put up great numbers and carry a team despite all the problems around him. Now, he's making like 35. That contract is getting blown out of the water at this point, and he's complained about a lot of things. His situation is a mess, but to be a guy of his stature is rare. How many quarterbacks with that Seattle team, exactly as they're constructed, if you put a different quarterback on that team, they make the playoffs every single year? How many guys? How many guys do it in Green Bay every single year the way Rodgers does when he's healthy? Very few. Very few. And that's the conversation tonight. So 855-212-4227. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. So here's the other thing that I've been thinking about with this, because there is a sort of truth line. And there's really two guys that fit this bill. Okay, think about this. When it comes to quarterbacks, every guy just gets the deal. Jared Goff, ton of money. Carson Wentz, ton of money. That doesn't go so well. But the guys that didn't get that kind of money, for example, right now, you've got it with the Titans and Ryan Tannehill. Historically, over his career, you had it with Alex Smith. And so here's the thing that I find so curious and so strange about all of this. Is the league's looked at it, and GMs have looked at it, and agents have looked at it and gone, these guys aren't worth top-of-the-line money. They're game managers, they're good, they're valuable pieces, but you don't give up everything. You don't sacrifice that much money because they're the quarterback with these guys. They're not that level of good. But outside of those guys, and, you know, Cam Newton, who's a rehab project, and at this point he's a fringe bridge guy, you know, Cam's a whole different thing. But it's either Ryan Tannehill and Alex Smith and what those guys have been over the course of their career, or you're getting paid like the top guy in the league. And there's no middle ground. There's really not a whole lot of give in terms of, well, this guy, yeah, he's better than Ryan Tannehill, but he's not as good as Patrick Mahomes, or he's not as good as Deshaun Watson. And so how do you find that appropriate slotting with the contract? You don't really see that. So that's the thing that's strange, right? I mean, yeah, quarterbacks are worth a lot, but they're all getting paid more than their value. So it becomes market value because they're all getting overpaid. You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy in that way. It just doesn't make sense. So I saw what Brady's doing, restructuring his deal. Tampa's bringing everybody back. They're going to run it back. They can do that. He's done that his whole career. Dak Prescott's getting the money, and I just go, well, that's it for Dallas. I mean, they're going to be pretty good. But unless the stars align, I don't expect them to win a title. So 855-212-4227. Let's go to Charles. Charles in Baltimore. What's up, Charles?
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good, man.
Yeah, I think Joe Flacco, when he got that big contract. Defensive players, they started shoveling him off. They couldn't pay him.
Joe Flacco's a great one, too, by the way, Charles, because if you remember when that happened, he had that great playoff run. They won the Super Bowl, and then once he won the Super Bowl, it was like, all right, well, you guys got to pay me now. And then they paid him crazy money, and, yeah, the team took a dive after that point. Like, that was as worst time as you could have possibly had. But the argument was, and I would figure, and you could probably tell me this, Charles, I would figure the argument at the time was, well, you got to pay him, right? Like, that's what everybody in Baltimore was saying, huh?
Right, he won you Super Bowl, pay him.
Yeah, whatever it costs. It's just that's what he's worth. He's the quarterback. He won it for you. He's good in the playoffs. You got to pay him. And would you say at this point that was a mistake?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
There you go.
He lost a lot of good defensive players after that.
Yeah, and that's what happens. The whole team breaks up. So, Charles, I appreciate it. Like, that is the problem. That is exactly the problem. They won it on the rookie deal. All the teams know it. The whole league knows it. Rookie deals are crazy valuable. Once you get into that second contract, well, good luck. I mean, that separates the good quarterbacks from the truly great, is you continue to be at the top of the league every single year despite having the contract. Drew Brees proved that he's great because they'd get to the second round of the playoffs every single year when he's making 35-plus. And he's been doing that his whole career. He's been getting top-of-the-line deals again and again every 3-4 years. He's always been there. He's always been in the conversation. Aaron Rodgers has always been in the conversation. He's that great to have the contract that he can overcome it and still win enough games, get you at least somewhat close. But he's also only won one Super Bowl, and Drew Brees has only won one. They've been to one. So that's it. I mean, that's the problem here. You see what I'm saying? It's crazy. The whole thing's crazy. Let's go to Tom in Portland. Tom, you're on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Tom?
Not much, man. Hey, I just want to say, has not Tom Brady proved what the market is worth?
Interesting. Okay, yes. On some level, you know, yeah.
I mean, how many quarterbacks since, I mean, that have won despite him are not on rookie deals?
Hmm. So, wait, how many guys, over the course of his career, how many guys that have beaten him are not on rookie deals? Or how many guys won a Super Bowl in general?
You got Roethlisberger,
yep.
Right?
Yeah, like the 09 Super Bowl against the Cardinals. Yeah, he was getting paid then.
And you got Rodgers, 1-1, and what's his name down
Drew
there?
Drew Brees.
But other than that.
And those guys are all Hall of Famers in great organizations.
And I don't think there's any other ones that aren't on rookie deals to keep. So hasn't Tom Brady proved what a starting quarterback is actually worth to their franchise?
Yeah. No, it's a great point because he's making 25. He's an older guy. His abilities are a little bit limited. That's a pretty fair deal.
And he has 7.
He's been, what, 10?
Right. I mean, so 25 versus 40 for Prescott getting 40? You got to be kidding me. That makes no sense.
No, it doesn't.
You're just handicapping your team.
Yeah, so Tom, I appreciate it. It's a great call. And the only other quarterback that did win a Super Bowl is Eli Manning with the Giants, and that's it.
But again, Tom Brady lives in a different world. Like, everybody thinks that we could just all compare everyone to Tom Brady, and everyone should just take less money because Tom Brady does. Not everyone has a supermodel wife that is the breadwinner of their family. Like, Russell Wilson's wife is a celebrity. Is she Gisele Bündchen? No.
I mean, but are they also set for life? They are.
They are, but if you're Dak Prescott and you realize that you need this money, this money is going to be like what sets you up for the rest of your life. And this is what's going to get you out of generational poverty. Like your family. This is what's going to help them get out of generational poverty. This one deal with the Cowboys is going to make you a millionaire upon a millionaire for the rest of your life. And the rest of your children's lives.
Yeah.
Who are you, or who is anyone, I shouldn't say you, who is anyone to tell Dak Prescott that he should not take the most money he can get?
Oh, well, he should. And that's the thing. I don't blame Dak Prescott for taking as much money as he possibly can from the market. That's what he should do. He was a fourth-round pick. For all these guys, the first deal like that, take it. But it's just once you've had three or four deals.
So for everyone to have the take or the opinion that everyone should do things the way Tom Brady does them, every quarterback in the league hates Brady because he never sets the market by taking the most money. So, they all hate him. That's why Patrick Mahomes, they all wanted to hug Mahomes when he signed his deal.
Oh, yeah. 10 years,
500.
They all
wanted to hug Deshaun Watson when he signed his deal. They all wanted to hug Prescott the other day. We are in no position to tell quarterback X that he should take less money because Tom Brady does. Period.
No, and I agree with that. But
on
the
other side,
GMs, though.
On the other, but if Vince... If someone is willing to give you X amount of dollars, who are you to, are you going to argue with Stephen Jones and Jerry Jones when they present you with the contract?
No!
No!
I'm saying they should be arguing with him.
But
they tried.
They tried. They can't. They know they're stuck. They live through Quincy Carter. They live through Drew Henson. They live through Vinny Testaverde. They all live through Drew Bledsoe. Drew Henson. I told you Drew Henson. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to go down the list of quarterbacks that played for Dallas after Aikman? They lived through it. They don't want to see it again. They were horrible. The Cowboys were irrelevant for a decade. The Dave Campo Cowboys were the most irrelevant football team that should have been relevant in the world. They know what it's like to be on the other side, to have nobody. So, if you're telling me I can't pay Dak Prescott X, what is your alternative?
Well, the alternative is you get to a point where, okay, if you can't negotiate him to an actual value of what he's really worth as a player compared to other quarterbacks in the league, then what you got to do is by the time it gets to the point where he's up and it's the end of his rookie deal and he's up for the big-time contract and you know somebody's going to pay it, you trade him. You trade him. You get something in return. And you build an actual team.
Right after Dak is winning division titles, you want to trade him? How do you think that's going to go over in Dallas? Oh, it'll go over just fine. It'll be great.
Oh, no. It'll
Everybody
be terrible
love
in the
it.
Moment. It'll be terrible because somebody's got to be the person to stomach that. Somebody's got to be willing to take the brunt for the idea that the organizational health will be better long term. So it's a longest view in the room kind of move.
But then you're back on the road or you're back on the maze of trying to find a quarterback, which nobody wants to be in. Nobody should voluntarily put themselves on the road to finding a quarterback. It's the dumbest thing in the world. Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to put yourself on the labyrinth of finding a quarterback? Why would you voluntarily want to do that?
Because there's so many different ways now. Look at the quarterback position and the way it's evolving. You can play it in so many different ways now. And for the NFL, passing's gotten easier than it's ever been. I mean, guys are regularly hitting 60-70% in their passes. And so when you can move the ball easier today...
But then why isn't everybody throwing for 300 yards every game? They're not.
Well, there's balance of things, too.
Why isn't everybody throwing for 300 and 400 yards for every game?
Well, because somebody's the running now. That's part of it.
There are still bad quarterbacks in this league. Two of them happen to reside in this city that we are currently in.
Well, yeah, which is great.
There are still bad quarterbacks in this league. I don't care what you say. Not everyone is going to just take a first-round pick and be able to find somebody. It doesn't work like that.
No, it doesn't work like that. But Dak Prescott was a fourth-rounder. You know, so you can find guys.
But I also can't depend on finding a fourth-round quarterback. I can't depend on that.
No, but you have more avenues,
though. That's like I found a needle in a haystack, and the Cowboys had no intention when they used that fourth-round pick of playing Dak Prescott. They had no intention.
Not right away, no.
No. Even if they had any intention, it wasn't going to be for forever. But Romo got hurt in a preseason game. And the Cowboys stumbled onto, this guy's pretty good. Do you think he's going to win the job? Oh, we got to play him. Oh, crap, what do we do?
Well, yeah, no, and then Romo retired at the middle
of the
season. And
the Cowboys were able to build the best offensive line in football.
Well, yeah, because it was on the rookie deal.
Right,
and
all those things have to come to an end when the quarterback outplays his contract. Like, it's just common sense. It's life. It's what happens. I understand things aren't going to go well for them the next 2 years, but like I told you, they're in the worst division in football. So what does it matter at the end of the day?
Because you want the bar. The bar isn't the division. The bar is that's
I
one of the bars.
I understand the bar isn't the division. But so you have to win the division to win the Super Bowl, or you have to make the playoffs to win the Super Bowl.
And that is one of the things as well, going back to Brady and all that stuff, contract is one of those things, but also the AFC East was just god-awful for forever, so they had a guaranteed 6 wins every single year, just about, and they had a cakewalk because you'd have a first-round bye and home playoff games. So they had those advantages as well, but man, it's just... You got to find some kind of way to scale this back a little bit. And I thought Dak might be the guy just because he is pretty good. He's pretty good, but he's not amazing. He had the injury last year. You're looking around the league. You're seeing the regret of contracts like Carson Wentz and Jared Goff. It just felt like if there was going to be a time where you'd scale back that quarterback pay a little bit and get it more reasonable based on what the guy is actually worth for your team, then... If it's not now, I just don't know when. So we're going to go through this again. And that's the thing, right? It's talking about the other guys around the corner that are going to be getting deals like this. Josh Allen comes up in a year. Lamar Jackson. I would figure, talking about the truth line a little bit earlier, about like Ryan Tannehill and Alex Smith and what those got paid because they didn't get top-of-the-line deals. But is Baker Mayfield that guy? I don't know. He should be. He's clearly not one of the best quarterbacks. He's clearly not one of the best 10. I would argue, just off the top of my head, he's probably not in the top 15. So, looking at a guy like that, I mean, what's he worth? So, who knows? Who knows? With the way I thought things would scale down a little bit here, again, everything lined up for Prescott to be the guy that wasn't getting the top-of-the-line deal, and he did. So... is that the right move by Dallas? Can you win when you do this? I mean, do you expect Dallas in the next 2, 3, 4 years to actually win a title? Or do they just get worse? They fall with style, because I've been watching Toy Story for the last week. That's what it feels like to me when you sign all these quarterbacks like that. You're just falling with style. So 855-212-4227. That's how you join the show. I'm Vince Quinn. You can also get in on Twitter at It's Vince Quinn. By the way, March is here, and today CBS has a full court press of college hoops. The action tips off at 1 Eastern, 10 Pacific, with back-to-back conference championships in the Atlantic 10 and Big 10. Then at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific, who's in, who's out, all will be revealed on the tournament selection show. The road to the Final Four has arrived as conference championship weekend presented by Army National Guard continues today on CBS, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio. Listening to the Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio.
So we got important information. I asked a question earlier, given that it's daylight savings time, clock moves up an hour. I was curious, if you set an alarm for the 2 o'clock hour, what happens? Right? So somebody reached out to me. They said apparently they set an alarm for 2:30 and it went off at 3:30. Now, that might be a mistake for some people, right? Because that's the game that you're playing. It's, okay, well, you've now lost an hour of time. So given that, do you want to go later in 3 or do you want to go early at 1? We have a guy here, for example, takes the train, coming into work, going home. And I reminded him because he didn't realize that it was daylight saving. So I reminded him of that, and he goes, Oh my God, that means I'm going to have to take the train early because otherwise I'm not going to have a train. I was like, yeah, man. So it's a dangerous game. I hope the alarms went your way as all of this is happening right now. So anyway, 855-212-4227 is how you get in and join the show. I'm Vince Quinn with you on CBS Sports Radio. And a lot of this so far has just been the idea that you see Brady, he's making on average $25 million is what he's been getting in Tampa. They just reworked his deal again, so they're pushing some money around. They're extending him, and they're bringing guys back. Chris Godwin is back. Levante David is coming back. So they're keeping the team together. They're able to do that with Brady. And now you look at Dak Prescott, he's going to be making over $40 million a year on average. He's not worth it. He's not worth that kind of money. Is he worth something in the 30s? Maybe. You know, he's pretty good. But he's not better than Deshaun Watson, for example, right? Is anybody going to argue that Dak is better than Deshaun Watson? Because if you are, you haven't seen Deshaun Watson, okay? Watson is ridiculously good. So you should be making less than that, like a little bit less than that for sure. And then you try to figure out that appropriate slot. But that's the complicated thing. Nobody does that. You just go, hey, you're the quarterback. You're not awful. You're not overwhelmingly mediocre to the point where nobody's outraged that or surprised that you get an average contract. Hey, this guy's actually making $18 million a year to be a starter. Wow, like Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy Bridgewater's making like $17 million a year. That's totally fair, isn't it? Isn't that totally reasonable amount of money for a guy like Teddy Bridgewater to make? He's a good player. He's okay. He's not going to win you games all the time. He's not necessarily going to lose you games either. $17 million, yeah, sounds pretty good. It's actually a fair market value. Would you be better off, and let me just ask this, would you be better off paying Teddy Bridgewater $17 a year or Dak Prescott like $42? I mean, think about that gap. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of players that you can get. That's a lot better team you could build. So Edgar Steffo's just shaking his head like this idiot.
Vince, another great example. Mr. Bridgewater, why are the Panthers scrambling to upgrade to trade for Deshaun Watson then? Why?
Well, and that's the thing, is they might trade for Watson.
If they,
and I get
if
why.
If they love paying Teddy Bridgewater $17 million, and filling out the rest of their roster here and there, why are they bending over backwards trying to trade for Deshaun Watson then?
Well, because that's ultimately what they want to do. It's team-building preference, and that's the
but
thing.
Then, but
everybody
then, but
wants to do it through the
quarterback. You're throwing team-building out the window because you're paying Deshaun Watson $40 million.
Yeah, and that's the choice that they're
making. So you can't on one hand tell me it's a great idea to trade for Deshaun Watson if you're the Panthers, but on the other hand you should say, build your team the way they build a team with Teddy Bridgewater, and you'll be able to fill out your roster. You can't have it both ways.
Watson is one of the few guys you can take that risk with. There's
of
about
course.
Four or five
and
in the
Cowboys
league.
And the Cowboys feel Dak Prescott is.
Yeah, and that's a
you
mistake.
Think they're wrong.
I know they're wrong.
You know, okay, you think they're wrong.
I've come back from the future. I've seen every Super Bowl. By the way, Super Bowl 55 is wild. That's a crazy one.
The Teddy Bridgewater one is a great example. He's middle of the pack. He's making $17 million. He's coming off a horrific injury. The only reason he was ever available to be paid $17 million was because he was coming off a horrific injury. And he had to go back up Drew Brees for 3 years. It's all great to want to build your roster that way. It's all rainbows and lollipops and sunshine. You know what you're going to win with Teddy Bridgewater as your quarterback? You're not going to win either. You're not going to win because he's mediocre. He's middle of the pack. You're not going to win. You can't tell me on one hand that it's so great to build your roster with somebody a la a Teddy Bridgewater making $17 million. And meanwhile, Matt Rhule and the GM are on the phone every day with the Texans saying, I got to give up my firstborn kid to get Deshaun Watson.
Well, that's their opinion and mine, right? I mean, that's the thing. That's the difference here. I'm totally okay at looking at a team and going, you know what? I'm going to build it through everything else. I think the best way to do it is you want to build a team so that you can draft a rookie quarterback that if they hit over a two-year window, then you go, great, this is our guy, and you've got a legitimate chance to win. Build your offensive line. Build your defensive line. Just everything else that you can do. Put all of your money and resources into that. When you get the draft pick and you take a shot on a guy, whether it's in the first round, second round, whatever, you plug those guys in, you take a bunch of lottery shots there, and you try to figure it out. Or you get a veteran guy on the cheap, and you try to figure it out. You know, the Chiefs were close with Alex Smith. The 49ers had good years with an Alex Smith. And there's something to be said for that, of having a full, complete team where you can stomach more injuries. You're spreading out the risk.
And Chris, if you could see how mad Crisafo is on the other
side. But they were never going to win. They were never going to win. The Niners playing Alex Smith knew they were never going to win. That's why they picked Kaepernick. They knew they were never going to win.
The Niners almost just did it with Jimmy Garoppolo, and they lost to Mahomes on a rookie
deal. And they were still paying Jimmy Garoppolo a fortune.
Well, they're paying him like 25. I mean, he's a guy that's almost...
And he's severely overpaid. Severely.
And that's the thing. The market's out of whack. He looks appropriate, but he's still overpaid. The market is bad. That's the whole thing. The quarterback market is bad.
I'm not arguing the market is bad. But you have to make sacrifices if you want to win. Not everybody's going to be lucky enough to have a Josh Allen or a Patrick Mahomes or a Lamar Jackson, where they're going to be lucky enough to be playing in playoff games with a guy on a rookie deal. It's just not feasible. It doesn't happen. Because if it did happen, everybody would do it.
Well, you got to build it so that it's more likely that you can with a guy that's not amazing. You know, you got to be able to, like, teams need to have the idea of, you can't have everybody trying to win with elite quarterbacks all the time. That can't be the mentality of everybody, because there's only so few that exist, and when they do exist, they don't go anywhere. So unless you draft that guy and you get lucky, you can't go, hey, well, once we get the great quarterback, you got to try to find ways to win without that guy. You got to try, like, people need to try more to win with average. You got to try at that spot. I know it's the quarterback, but it's a full team sport.
You're saying let's voluntarily make ourselves worse at the most important position in professional sports.
Yes.
That's what you're saying.
Yes.
That's crazy.
And maybe I'm
just
crazy.
Just bottle up in that one statement. You were saying, let's voluntarily make ourselves worse at the most important position in all professional sports.
Yes, you're counteracting the market. You're looking at everybody else and what they're doing. You're looking at the quality of quarterbacks. There's more good quarterbacks in the NFL than ever before because quarterbacks win in different ways now. It used to be, hey, you're not 6'6". You can't play, you know? But now it's like, hey, this guy's 5'10", and he can run. Let's start him and see what happens. And Kyler Murray is a good player. So, I don't know. Those are the things you look at. He went number one. The league's different.
The only reason Kyler Murray went number one is because he had a connection with Kingsbury.
Okay, but he's not a regret as a number one pick.
He's not a regret. But no other team would have picked Murray at number one.
Okay, but he's still a first-rounder and a starter, though.
Gotcha.
So,
but he was lucky enough to have the connection of this coach that wanted to coach him so badly.
Yeah, but he doesn't get drafted in the first round 10 years ago.
He does not. That's fair.
So that's the thing. But anyway, there's a lot going on here. 855-212-4227 is how you join the show. What we're going to do next is we're going to get somebody on to talk some NFL. That's Jarrett Bailey from Sports Illustrated and FanSided is going to be on the show. So that's coming up next. First, here's a sports update with Mike McCann.
You're listening to The Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio. Listening to The Vince Quinn Show, weekend overnights on CBS Sports Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. I hope your clocks are set right. I hope you've actually gotten up at the time you were supposed to get up, and you're not like, oh crap, I'm an hour late, and you're just driving at 900 miles per hour right now on the highway. I'm Vince Quinn here on CBS Sports Radio, and for the next hour, a couple of things to get into. The Chiefs have a lot of changes going on. We'll be getting to that in a little bit. The XFL and CFL are talking about a merger. I want to get into that. You have one of the best stories you could possibly have out of the NBA last night. We'll be getting to that. But first, there's something that, before we get to Cam Newton, there's a trend going on that I think is absolutely hysterical. Now, it's vaccine time, okay? So people are going out and about all over the country in great force, going to get the vaccine one way or another. And for me, you know, I got the shot, first shot on Monday. And I was a mess this week. So I got it because I'm asthmatic. So for me, even though I'm in my 30s, and generally I'm an okay, I mean, let's be honest, I'm an Adonis, okay? I'm a beautiful physique, okay? I'm a little flubby and I've never worked out. But, you know, I got it because of the asthma. So that's why I have the shot. But there's a lot of people that I've noticed that are getting it because of three little unexpected letters. BMI.
Baloney.
Yeah, and they must be eating a lot of baloney because it means that these people are basically admitting their body mass index is over 30, which I have no idea what that means because nobody ever talks about that. But suddenly, people are coming out of the woodwork and going, let me tell you, my body mass index, it's been over 30 for years.
Fat guy in little coat.
Yeah, oh, they're fat. And that's the thing. You're getting people now that if you were to call somebody fat, even if in a relative sense, they're like a little above average. They'd be like, yo, hey, don't, that's not right. But now they're like, oh, yeah, doc, I'm fat. I'm as fat as fat could be. I am the fattest pig. Oh, you know what I had for breakfast? Chocolate cake. That's just what I do. That's how I live.
He's a big dumb animal, isn't he, folks?
Oh, yeah. He is. And you know what? If I didn't have asthma, maybe I'd be doing the same thing. But there's so many people that have come out to be like, yeah, let me just tell the whole world that I'm fat now.
That
like, I'm just going to.
Absurd.
Yeah, I didn't expect it. Because here's the thing that really does make it absurd. It's not just that I've noticed a lot of people leaning into BMI, which is, you know, kind of BS. See what I did there? And they're doing that to get the shot. But the thing that really made it surprising to me was that the number of women that I've personally seen accounts of that are in my personal universe that have gotten the vaccine because of BMI. I went, wow, I did not expect that. But apparently, this is what everybody is starting to do. Like, this is, if you're trying to move your way up on the list, oh, baby, get that body mass index going.
You gotta be beeping me.
You know those, well, it's like a pincer. They've got like those metal pincers. You know what I'm talking about, Graceffa? Like it's like a metal.
It's like an acupuncture needle?
It's like a pincer. Like it's two ends and you clasp it together, but it's a big, thin piece
like
of metal. Yeah, like, it's like a clip. And they sort of like clip your love handles, and they're like, oh, yeah, that's a lot of love handle. Like,
I totally could get it if I wanted to jump the line.
Yeah, no, you could. Like, I don't think, because the people that I saw that that said, yeah, my body mass index is, like, through the roof, and give me the shot, I'm at 30, I looked at them, I'm like, you're a totally average-looking person. Now, maybe that just means we're all fat, and that's the lesson to get from this, but man, it's just so funny to see all of these people leaning into body mass index for the sake of getting the vaccine. Like, suddenly the whole world is willing to just scream from the rooftops they're fat.
Fat guy in little coat.
So, in addition to the sports stuff, I am curious if you're somebody that you, like, this is not, you would never. Typically, you're not incredibly overweight or anything. You're an average person, and you decided to use body mass index to get the vaccine. I need to hear from you. I would love to talk with you. 855-212-4227. Or if you
That's
leaned
absolutely
in
a, ludicrous.
Yeah, it is. It is. There's so many people that just look like totally normal healthy people. Like, yeah, I'm telling you. So, body mass index, there you have it. The secret sauce, baby. So, 855-212-4227. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios when you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life. But, you know, it fits a little tight because of your body mass index. Rocket can. So let's get into a story that I didn't necessarily see coming, but once I saw it, it made a lot of sense. Cam Newton has signed with the New England Patriots. Now, he just got a deal. It's 1 year. And, yeah, kind of $14 million. What does kind of $14 million mean? Well, that's a good question, because that is a number. It's not kind of a number. Well,
baloney.
Yeah, it's a baloney contract. That's exactly what's happening. And luckily, nobody mailed us baloney. That was another victory. But looking at Cam Newton, the deal is basically 1 year, $5 million. Everything else is incentives. So you've got $9 million of incentives in the Cam Newton contract. Because when I first saw $14 million as well, I was like, wait, what? And I've been a Cam Newton supporter, relative. You know, it's been a lot of bleeping and moaning about Cam Newton, but guy didn't have much of an offense, right? You look around, who's a good wide receiver on New England? I can't think of anybody. They don't have one. So the offense was bad. Cam's a very specific brand of quarterback. So they got to 7-9. It was like, okay, he wasn't great. He had some pretty awful games. He got benched a couple of times and deserved it. Fine. But $14 million just didn't make sense. I mean, that was a lot. So, yeah, he's getting 1 year and $5 million, and you love to see it, right? Like, that's something that makes sense. He's a starting quarterback, maybe, that in the right scenario, if he's got better wide receivers, what does he look like? Can he be a better starter if they have people for him to throw the ball to, guys that can course correct? For example, and I don't think they're necessarily going to do this, but a Kenny Golladay. If Kenny Golladay was with Cam Newton, could that work enough? Yeah, that could work. That could get to the playoffs. If you have obviously other things have to go right and you want the defense to continue to be great, but if they have that energy about them, then yeah, Cam Newton at that point, he makes some money in incentives. You're paying him $9, $10 million. It's all well and good. That's a steal. You take that. But it also gives them the option to draft somebody, and it's not a quarterback controversy, right? If they're paying him $5 million to start, that ain't a commitment. Dak's making 42, somewhere in that ballpark. So you want to say, oh, well, they can't do this. They just signed Cam Newton again. No, 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 no. That is not what this is at all. They're just paying him $5 million to stay. He's an insurance policy. So now, hey, Mac Jones is there in the middle of the first round, right? Belichick and Saban have a connection. Maybe that's your pick. Maybe Kyle Trask, that's your pick. Okay. But now you can have a competition. Now you can have Cam Newton ride out a couple of weeks while that young guy takes over. Now, theoretically, and this is where it would get interesting as well, if Jimmy Garoppolo, for some reason, the 49ers find a guy and they get rid of Jimmy G, well, now you can bring him in and you just have a carousel sort of situation. Hey, Jimmy Garoppolo's playing well. He's going to start. Oh, well, now he stinks. Okay, let's go to Cam. Or knowing Belichick, he might change him up in the middle of the game just to do it, just to give a different look. I mean, you never know. But looking at Cam Newton going back to New England, on the surface, you go, yeah, they benched him a couple of times. Like, this doesn't make any sense. Why is he getting $14 million? He got the veteran minimum last year. The more you look at it, it's actually a pretty fair deal that makes sense for everybody. He's been there now. Belichick knows how to use him. Josh McDaniels knows how to use him. They want him to run a lot. They built the offense around that. Totally different from Tom Brady. That's why Belichick is one of the best coaches the league's ever seen. Because he changed everything. Not a lot of guys can do that. Not a lot of coaches are willing to do that. Belichick did. So looking at the whole picture here, makes sense to me. And by the way, they got $56 million in cap space this year. So while all these different teams all around the league are scrambling and cutting people and restructuring like mad, New England doesn't have to do that. Now you're going to have all these teams, as they struggle, as they cut, to get under the cap. Veteran players that in normal circumstance wouldn't be on the market. Now they are. Who gets the benefit? Well, a team like the New England Patriots can. So can they build something up? Can they get a good enough team around Cam Newton or Kyle Trask, Mac Jones, somebody else they bring in? Yeah, you can totally believe that. That's easy to see. They're maybe third or fourth most cap space in the league. So hell of a time to have cap space. Interesting signing for New England. Now, 855-212-4227 is how you get in. We go to Mike, who's in Massachusetts. What's up, Mike?
What's going on, guys?
Nothing much.
Sorry, I'm playing a game of Madden Hall. Let me just pause this. I'm playing with Tampa Bay, of course, because obviously the best team in the league.
Do you always play as the best team in the league? Is that how you always do it with Madden?
No, sorry. I didn't mean the best team in the league. I just play with the best quarterback in the league. So I'm 29 years old. I obviously started watching football when I was 10 years old when Tom Brady took over, and obviously he's all I've ever known. Now, I was listening briefly. I was on my way to work earlier, and I've been I'm working right now. I'm currently in a building at MIT in Boston.
Okay.
Working on one of the biggest COVID research centers in Boston right now.
How's your BMI, Mike? How's your BMI looking these days?
Pretty good, actually.
There you go.
Good.
All right.
But here's my point. I heard your partner saying, you know, about every quarterback in the league hates Tom Brady. That's not true at all. Every quarterback in the league actually loves Tom Brady, and they actually want to be Tom Brady.
Here's the thing, Mike. His argument was basically that the quarterbacks don't like the idea that he's taking less money because Tom Brady, as much as Mahomes just broke everything open with 10 years, $500 million, how much sooner could that have happened with the six or seven or however many contracts Brady signed if he was always doing top-of-the-market money? I mean, you might have seen $500 million like 6 years ago if Brady was making those contracts all the time.
Right, but also Tom Brady also took pay cuts 6, 7 years ago, back before he even won 5 Super Bowls, 4 Super Bowls.
Yeah, and that's the argument.
Because the whole point is Tom Brady is obviously the face of New England. Like, when you look at the Patriots and you think of the Patriots now, it's Tom Brady, right? It's not, I mean, yeah, Belichick, okay. Maybe we can make an argument that it is partially Belichick. But realistically, look at what's happening now. You just signed Cam Newton? Are you kidding me? You just signed Cam Newton again.
Who else is out there? Alex Smith? Is that inspiring?
I would take you over Cam Newton.
I'm mobile. Surprising mobility from me.
I just heard you talking about how good shape you're in. So I would hope so.
And that was a lie.
I'm not pro Cam Newton. I do not like it. Don't get me wrong. I'm a Patriots fan. But I just bought season tickets to the Tampa Bay. So I am a Tom Brady fan. I'm a Tom Brady fan more than anything. And I think that when it comes down to it, at the end of the day, these guys, they want to be Tom Brady. They look up to Tom Brady, and Tom Brady is the face of the NFL.
Well, he's the standard for these things, Mike. But again, I think you're missing the point. The point was that he's not making the most money possible for the position. In fact, Graceffo, can you pull up the short version of that Prescott cut? So, and let me know when you got it, because that's the biggest thing here. It's the idea, you're Tom Brady! You're winning every Super Bowl! He's won more Super Bowls than any franchise in the history of the sport, okay? That's incredible. How much is he worth? Billions, right? He's worth everything. So listen to Dak Prescott talking about part of why he signed a monster record contract with the Dallas Cowboys.
I think I had a responsibility and obligation to the other quarterbacks and to the other men and even the guys on my team to get this done.
There you go. He's got an obligation to other quarterbacks. That's what he wanted to do. If you're a baseball fan, JT Realmuto in the offseason as a catcher was like, hey, I just want to change the game for catchers. I want a record deal for catchers, trying to get as much money.
The thing Tom Brady has avoided his entire career. That's why they hate him, dummy.
Yes.
That's why they hate him.
They all want to be him because he wins all the time, but they don't want to make the sacrifice of the money.
Correct.
And they want the top of the market deal.
That's why they hate him, because he has never taken the most money. And you know why they would like him to take the most money? Because the next guy would get more. Simple economics. You're a Buck fan. Go enjoy your Buck season tickets. You're not a Patriot fan anymore.
I can't imagine what it's like, because I saw a video of one of the guys in Boston, and he's in the studio wearing a TB12 hat, and it's a red hat.
They're all phonies now. When Brady left, they couldn't wait to throw the knife at Brady and put the knife in his back.
Or Belichick.
They couldn't wait to throw the knife at Brady, too. Oh. How dare Tom Brady leave us? All this crap. Now that Brady's won and they realize the crap storm they're in, they're all Tom Brady fans again. Funny how that works.
It is
interesting. Imagine throwing away your team because of a player left. Imagine throwing away the fandom of your team because a player left. Like, what kind of fan are you? Like, you're a coward. You're a loser. That's all you are.
Well, that's how people see it. He's the greatest quarterback of all time, and they will find
loyalty.
You root
for the Patriots.
It's a war over there.
You root for the Patriots. You don't root for Tom Brady, unless we're all Tom Brady fans in New England all of a sudden. And again, they want to crap on Cam Newton. Bill did not want to have his quarterback room filled with Jared Stidham and a rookie. He wanted a veteran there to know the system. So he gave him $5 million. He gave him $5 million. He threw him a bone last year because he played on the veteran minimum. Where's the other veteran quarterback you're bringing in? He doesn't want to pay top dollar for a quarterback. If you can't realize that by now, you have not paid attention the last 20 years.
Yeah.
So, where are you? Ryan Fitzpatrick? Where are you going? Alex Smith? Mitch Trubisky? Where do you want to go?
And it's all the same, mostly, right? Like, it's all the same. You're just treading water. Maybe you draft a guy. Maybe you don't this year. But you're keeping your options open. You build up everything else around it. You got the cap space. If you think a foundational piece is out there, you go for it. You can land that guy if you want. That's not typically the Patriots' MO. It's once in a blue moon. But you have that option available. You still have the cap space. You can roll cap space over. Like, there's so many advantages to having a guy like this.
How many starters are they getting back simply because they had the most opt-outs in the league because of the pandemic?
Yeah.
They're getting back 5-6 starters. So you tell me they're going to be so much worse? They're going to be terrible? Like, okay, great. I would love for them to be terrible. That'd be awesome for me.
Yeah, I'm an Eagles fan. I'll trade rosters. You want to go and trade some things around? I'll take that New England team. I would take Bill Belichick and that Patriots roster over what the Eagles got. It's not even close.
But they all want to be the Bucks now. They all want to be the Bucks now because they see Shiny Tommy win another trophy. So they're all jealous of the Bucks.
Yeah, because they think
it's their birthright to win every year. That's what they think.
Well, that's what happens when you have 20 years of constant winning. It feels like, yeah.
Well,
it's
now you know how the rest of the world feels. Have fun. Enjoy it.
Yeah, and they're not even in that bad a spot. They're actually in an enviable spot. So, whatever. Anyway, 855-212-4227. That's how you join the show. 855-212-4227. I'm Vince Quinn with you here on CBS Sports Radio, and we'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.